don't know about you, but I've been challenged already. I've been encouraged already. Something about being in this place and having the Spirit of God move and speak to your hearts, and then hearing what God is doing in other people's hearts and lives, and how God is moving in other churches, and how, as we heard from our missionary who spoke, and what God has called her to do, I'm encouraged, and I'm also challenged. I'm challenged because what we just heard from that woman of God who is following what God has called her to do is something that is huge. Leaving everything that you're comfortable with and going to a place where it is unreached. I don't know about you, but that makes me uncomfortable. Just the thought of denying yourself to the point where everything that you held, that everything that you relied on, everything that you took comfort in, is possibly going to be removed for the sake of following the gospel of Jesus Christ and following where God has called you to preach that gospel. That's huge. And I'm challenged. I'm challenged because I realize how often in my life I am shallow. How often when it comes to things that make me comfortable and when it comes to the will of God, I usually make the decision of whether or not I'm going to be comfortable. Does that hit any of you today? Are you willing to admit that a lot of times you make decisions that will make you comfortable? I mean, it shows up in the little things, doesn't it? I don't know if you know me or not, but this getup, I'm not comfortable. I don't like it. I don't do well with the heat. The fact that I possibly going to any place that is hotter than Central New York, I don't like that. I don't like wearing ties. It makes me feel like someone is trying to strangle me. I don't like long sleeves. I don't like pants because it feels like my legs and my arms are being strangled as well. I don't like that. And many times, I make the decision to say, you know what? I don't want to be shackled by these things anymore. So I take this thing and I throw it because it makes me uncomfortable. I take this thing that is strangling me. I don't need to wear this stupid tie. It doesn't do anything for me. I want to take it off. And I find that many times in our lives, we do this very same thing. How many of you have ever been in... That just hung there, didn't it? Kind of felt... Okay. How many of you have been in a line before and you realize, this is taking too long? You're standing there on your feet and you've been standing there for so long, you're starting to get uncomfortable. And what do? You start shifting your weight back and forth because after a while your feet start to get uncomfortable. So maybe if I lean on this one a little bit, it gives this one a break. Or maybe if I lean up against something. Or maybe if I go and find some place that's not really a chair, but I can use it as a chair, and you lean up against it for a little bit. Because after a while, you become uncomfortable, and the only thing that goes through your mind is I have to get what is uncomfortable out of my life so that I can be comfortable again. With me, I don't like standing for long periods of time. My default mode is I love to sit down. I love to sit down. I love to be in shorts. I love to be in a t-shirt. And I love to be in my chair watching TV. That is my thing. I don't want to be standing. That doesn't make sense to me. If I'm able, this makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. This shirt doesn't make sense. I don't like having this shirt on. I feel like I'm in Superman in a telephone booth over here. I don't like that. I don't like these shoes. I don't like that. Nope. This makes me comfortable. How many of you would have thought that you would have seen this morning? This is my default mode, right here. I have a remote in my hand. I have a glorious bottle of Pepsi. And this is where I'm comfortable. Now here's my question to you all. Have you ever considered that when God has called you to do something, that it might possibly come into conflict with what makes you comfortable? And here we are, we're living our lives, we're making our decisions, and we're making these decisions, I don't want to do that. I would much rather be comfortable. And if that is our default mode of what makes us comfortable is making decisions strictly based on that, then we realize something. Every decision that we make will then be based on, do I know enough? Am I strong enough? Do I have the experience necessary for me to accomplish this? And if I don't, that makes me uncomfortable and I shy away. You think about something as big as preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and going into all the world. That is big, much bigger than any of us. And so, are we going to rely on our own strength to do that? That would be silly. It's insane for to rely on our own strength, to rely on our own mindset, to rely on whether or not that makes us comfortable. It would be crazy for us to consider that, wouldn't it? You think about what makes us comfortable. I find that a lot of times our comfortability is dominated by our weakness. It's dominated by our weakness. I can't handle certain things, so I'm just going to not deal with that anymore. I'm going to rely on my own strength and forget that. And all the while, there is a world out there that is dying. And are we relying on God to send us there for Him to give us strength? And that's where I am today. A lot of us may be in this situation where God has called us to someplace big. But if we're really honest, we're just some fat slobs who are in an overstuffed chair drinking Pepsi and just wanting to stay there. And all the while, God is calling us to something that is bigger. We like to play. We like to dress up. We like to do all these things. We like to play the part. But when it comes right down to it, maybe some of us here, although we've been playing the part, although we've been trying to dress up, in reality, this is all who you are. Just some person with shorts and a t-shirt, and God is calling you to do something that is far greater than you can ever imagine. If you would, turn with me to Psalms chapter 73. I want to talk to you today about strength and weakness. Strength and weakness. It's one thing we can admit to each other, yes, I am weak. I want to be comfortable. I'm not able to do certain things. I don't know certain things. But there is security. There is security that can be found in our weakness. So let's take a look at Psalms chapter 73. We're going to take a look at verses 21 through 26. As you're turning there, maybe you're already there already. This psalm was written by a guy named Asaph. Asaph was a guy who was a music director. And he was from the tribe of Levi. His job was to write music so that the people of Israel can worship. He knew David. From 1 Chronicles, we know that David and him knew each other. David would write some music himself and hand it to Asaph. And Asaph ended up having this whole family. He ended up having this lineage of where his offspring continued on what he was doing in worshiping the Lord and making music. And then their offspring, and then their offspring. So much so that later on, we see another Asaph emerge years and years and years later, and it's from the same family. Families who are passing down their faith one to another, to another, to another. And so when we see Psalms that are attributed to Asaph, we're not really sure if it's the first one or if it's the second one. We don't even know if David is the one that wrote it and Asaph is just the one that is performing it. What we do know is that it's in the Word of God. And so in the chapter 73 of Psalms, the first 20 verses, you can read it and you can easily point to situations here today. The first 20 verses talks about injustice. How unjust it is for the unrighteous to profit in this world. How unjust is it that evil prevails? How incredibly frustrating it is to know that there is such a thing as sex trafficking that takes place. Isn't it frustrating that those people continue to make millions and millions and millions of dollars year after year after year and never be caught? Isn't it ridiculous that there is people out there who can just do all of the things that they do and never have a second thought about it? And isn't it more crazy that those who are righteous at times are found struggling just to get by? And we see here Asaph having this frustrating dialogue of, have I given myself over to God in vain? Why am I serving Him when I see injustice prevail? Why am I serving Him when all of this nonsense is going on? And then we start seeing in verse 21, he starts seeing what his problem is. Let's take a look at verse 21. Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Let's stop there. You see, a lot of times in our own weakness, it gives us a horizontal perspective. In our own weakness, it gives us a horizontal perspective. We start looking around and we start seeing the problems around us. And not only do we see the problems around us, we start looking for solutions in that same horizontal perspective. We start seeing, okay, am I uncomfortable? Well, okay, I'm hot and I really don't want this, so I'm just going to take off clothes and perhaps find myself in an air-conditioned place. If I'm in a place where somebody is annoying, then thankfully I have the freedom to get rid of that annoying person and hang out with people that I actually like. We have this horizontal perspective. When we think of things like the sex trafficking, when we think about things like poverty, we tend to look at the horizontal and we try to fix it with things like politics. We try to fix it with programs and things like that. And at the end of the day, we find ourselves further and further frustrated. And here, Asaph is writing this and he is saying, man, I know I have allowed all of this stuff to make me bitter. I have allowed all this stuff to make me angry. I have allowed all this stuff to cause me to lose hope. And I must seem like a senseless animal to you. We have lost our perspective. And it's interesting because I find that that's what we do every day as Christians. We have this something amazing like Christ coming down to us and rescuing us. Think about that for a moment. That the living God of all creation actually came down to humanity to set us free from eternal bondage. That can never get old to us. That's something that we have been trying our whole lives to accomplish, and we would never be able to do it. We would never be able to know enough. We would never be able to be strong enough. We would never be able to feel enough. We would never have enough experience necessary to be able to get us out of the predicament of sin and weakness. But because of Jesus Christ, we now have that victory. We have the ability to walk in freedom. We have that ability to be set free for all of eternity. But how many times do you and I, when it comes to everyday situations in our life, only look at the horizontal to help fix our problems? If only I had this relationship. If only this person treated me better. If only I had this amount of money. If only I had this kind of influence. And in reality, here it is, Christ revealing himself, saying, "Here I am. Just trust me. Just trust me. The problems you're facing, yeah, it's too big. But I'm bigger than that. Just trust me, and I will put you on a path that will help bring light to a dying world." We trust ourselves too much, don't we? Isn't it a shame that we settle for works of the flesh instead of an actual move of God? Let's take a look at this clip about how we trust ourselves a lot and how we are infatuated with ourselves a lot.
Of course, the most annoying are those people in exceptionally good shape at the gym. I'm always like, "What are you doing here? You're done. What are you rubbing it in?" Luckily, there's always one or two people at the gym you look at and you're like, "Don't bother. Then you realize it's just your reflection in the mirror. I don't get the mirrors, you know. I don't want to see myself working out. I know what I look like. That's why I'm going to the gym. Obviously, there's some people that do want that, right? They're like, "If I'm going to be working out, I want to look at something like myself. I want to look at myself while I work on myself. I should do a recording so I can listen to myself while I look at myself while I work on myself as I leaf through my Self magazine, read how myself can improve myself. Then, you know, go to my Facebook page and look at photos of myself, see what myself has written about myself. Yo soy muy importante. Myself."
We look at ourselves a lot, don't we? We look at ourselves for solutions. Even if we don't think it's there, we still look for it, don't we? And we drive ourselves crazy, and we hit that wall over and over and over again. We are the very picture of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But here, we find ourselves in our weakness, having this horizontal perspective, and there is no hope. But thankfully, we have security in our weakness. And that security was purchased for us on the cross. Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2. Starting at verse 4, I had debated using this passage, going back and forth, whether I wanted to use it, and then, surprise, surprise, Pastor Mark pulled it out when he read it out this morning, and I figured, well, there goes that. That's confirmation. Let's take a look at it. "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins. He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all He has done for us, who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and when you can't take credit for this, it is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things He planned for us long ago. We have been given a gift that has been purchased only by one person. One person can purchase this gift for us, and that's Jesus Christ. And it is our trust in Him that allows us to be set free from our own weaknesses. It is only by His work on the cross and His resurrection from the dead that we can do anything in the horizontal. You want to change the world around you? You must first have to look to Christ. That's where it starts. It can't start here. If it could start here, then He never would have had to come here. He never would have had to set us free. We have to trust Him because He's the only one that has been able to conquer the horizontal. When we take a look at all the things around us and it looks too big and whatever, Christ has already come here and He's lived that life for you. He was familiar with all of our temptations. He was familiar with all of our weaknesses. And yet He still came and was conquering all those things. And it is because of His work here on this earth that we can stand victorious, because He was victorious for us. I won't have you turn here, but Hebrews chapter 8 talks about how we used to have the old covenant, but now we have this new covenant that is based on better promises. This old covenant was about whether or not you can do all the right things and stay away from all the bad things. And Christ came and set us free from that. And now all we have to do is trust in Jesus Christ. It gets better than that. That's pretty good, right? To have our weaknesses be cast away and to now have security in Christ because of the cross, that's great, isn't it? But it goes even further than that. My third point, the Holy Spirit restores our vertical relationship. Not only have we been set free and we've been given security through Jesus Christ, we now have the ability to have a relationship with Him. Have a relationship with the God of the universe. And it's through the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Check out John chapter 16. John chapter 16, starting with verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. This is Jesus speaking. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Skip ahead to verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. Do you hear that end part there? He will glorify me. How many times have we tried to give glory to God and tried to do things, and we've done so in vain because we've only trusted in our own power and our own might? Isn't it silly that Christ has set us free and has given us a sense of security, but then we go back to the old way of living and trying to please God by our own strength and might? Wouldn't it make sense that since we've trusted in Christ to do something that we couldn't do before, wouldn't it make sense to continue to trust Him so that we can have relationship with Him, so that He can empower us, convict us, shape us, mold us, lead us and guide us into all truth, so that we can go into all the world and preach the gospel to a world that is dying? Doesn't that make sense? You see, the Holy Spirit came so that He could restore that vertical relationship. Isn't it unfortunate that sometimes we find ourselves in the position of turning our back and not taking advantage of that relationship? Ignoring what He's trying to do in our lives. Ignoring where He's trying to send us. Thinking, I can't do that. Of course you can. You're you. There's nothing wrong with you. Well, there is, but this is not a personal thing. I'm not looking at you going, huh? Because I can look at the mirror and go, isn't that crazy that we do that? You know, one of the things that I used to love growing up, I loved snow days. I loved it when snow came, and then I would, back at that time, I would hit myself in front of the radio and wait for my name to be, not my name, but the name of my school. That would be weird. Jeff Hill, you're not supposed to go to school today. I would wait for Jordan Elbridge High School to be announced, and then later on I would look at the TV and I would wait for that to scroll across there. And I would get so happy when I would see it. And then I would get a phone call afterwards from my mother. And she would tell me something that I had not considered earlier in that morning. It's time for you to shovel out the driveway. No! I've just been dismissed from work. And now I have to shovel out the driveway? One of the happiest moments is when my dad fixed the snowblower. And so I would happily go out, not really happily because I still had to work, but I would push the snowblower over and over. And just imagine snow flying out of here. And I would push, and I would push, and I would go over, and I would go back and take another swipe. And after a while, I'd be like, yeah, I know how to do this pretty good. And then we got a new snowblower. And this snowblower was different than the other one. If you press on a button, it would run the wheels for you. It was a motor that would cause the thing to go forward, and you didn't even have to push it. Yeah, I like that. And so I'd go through, and I'm going, and I'm going like this. And it was great. But then I found myself, it's going too fast. And instead of me, like an intelligent person, laying off the gas, I'm trying to hold back this thing that is going too fast for me. And then there are times where I want it to go faster, so I'm pushing against this thing. And I'm going, and then at the end of it, I am even more exhausted. And then I remember my dad, who has been watching me struggle. I don't know if he laughed or not, but he came up to me and said, you know, you are fighting against this. Just let it do its job of what it's supposed to do. Just let it do the work. And I find that so many of us are going on in our lives, and the Holy Spirit is trying to do something. He's trying to empower us. And how many of us are trying to direct it ourselves? How many times are we resisting against it? And when it comes to living our lives for the sake of Christ and what He has called us to do, we find ourselves exhausted. Could it be because we have been fighting against what He's been trying to do? That would exhaust anybody, wouldn't it? Fighting against something that is way stronger than you. And you're being pushed one way and you insist on going the other. Life is hard enough. We just trust Him. We would see not only success in our life, but success in what He's called us to do. That success may look different than what we imagine. But again, our standards are not ours. That we're not judging by our standards. We're judging by God's, who is stronger, wiser, has more expertise than we could ever blink an eye. Wouldn't it make sense to trust Him? Let me get my snowblower out. You know, our weaknesses cause us to have horizontal perspective. But Christ has purchased security for us on the cross. The Holy Spirit has come to give us a vertical relationship once again with the Most High God. When you think about that, the Holy Spirit resting on the inside of you, giving you life. A lot of times I've always looked at God and He's far away. And right now, He is here. Maybe you have heard Him speak to you already. Maybe you haven't heard Him. That idea seems insane to you. I assure you, that's His job, is to speak to you. I can blab up here an awful lot. But I encourage you, more than anything else, don't hear just my words. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to each and every one of you. I'm just a limited, weak guy trying to do what Christ has called me to do as I trust Him. But right now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. What is He saying? Do you find yourself in this position of where you haven't been trusting Him, fighting against Him? Have you been trying to earn things yourself? Has your perspective been simply horizontal? Horizontal solutions for horizontal problems. Or are you trusting in Jesus Christ, who has conquered the horizontal, so that you can once again have that vertical relationship? Let's take a look at my last point. And then with that, can I have the worship team come up? Let's bring security to a dying world. Christ has made us secure. He has purchased it for us. We have a renewed relationship with God because of the Holy Spirit. And we have in the book of Acts, it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses to go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There are other points that says go. There are other parts of the Bible that talk about going into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what Meredith is doing. But let me reiterate her challenge once again to you. What is your part? What is your part into going into all the world? See, it wasn't for just any reason that He went and purchased salvation for you. He did it because He loved you. It wasn't just for any reason that He gave us the Holy Spirit. He did it so that we could be empowered and so that we could be transformed. But at the end of it, it doesn't end there. You see, we still have that overall commission that He has given us into going to all the world. We were not the only ones that were sick in our weaknesses. We were not the only ones that was held back by sin. There is a world out there that is in need of us to take on the responsibilities that Jesus has given us. Thankfully, we do not have to rely on our own strength, but we do have to be obedient. There is an obedience that is necessary. Have you been obedient? There are so many people here in this world that is struggling. They are in the middle of poverty. There is people here in the Syracuse, New York area that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the only way that they are going to hear it is as if you are obedient. If you point the way to say, here is where I have found security. It has only been because of Jesus Christ. You know, at the end of the day, I am glad that I'm just some schmo with a t-shirt and shorts on. Because my power, my wisdom, it's not what I'm relying on anymore. I'm relying on God to do something that is far greater than just wearing a suit. Because He has changed me from the inside out. He has set me free. So my question to you is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Would you all bow your heads and start praying to God at this moment? Start praying to God about where He is leading and directing you. I can try to manipulate and I can try to stir you up, but at the end of the day, that's not what it's about, is it? It's about the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, at this moment, we yield to You. We yield to You because You speak to us in ways that other people can't. You speak to us in a way that is informed because You know every single part of our hearts and our minds. So Lord, today with humility, we submit to You. We submit to what You have. We are embarrassed by some of the things that You may find in our heart, but we know that You came to set us free. You came to shape and mold our minds so that we can have minds that are focused on You, are focused on things that give life instead of death. Lord God, we trust You today. We trust You in securing our future. We trust You with going forward to what You have called us to do. Lord God, we thank You that we can have a vertical relationship. We thank You that we can have a relationship with the God of the universe.